there was an elderly Christian lady who every morning, her habit was that she would go out onto her front porch each and every morning and just shout, "Praise the Lord." And every morning she had a man who lived next door to her who was an atheist. And he would yell back, "There is no God." Well, this goes on for weeks. "Praise the Lord," yells the lady. "There is no God," responds the neighbor. And as time goes by, the lady, of course, runs into some financial difficulties and she has some trouble buying food. And she goes out onto the porch and asks God for help. She says, "You know, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how to get the things that I need. There's no help for me. But Father, I really need groceries." And she said, "But regardless, praise the Lord." So she says, "God, you know, I really need help. I need some help with these groceries and I don't know what I'm going to do. But regardless, I will praise you. Praise the Lord." The next morning when she goes out on the porch, the groceries that she asked for were sitting there in front of her. And of course she shouts, "Praise the Lord." Well, the atheist jumps out from behind a bush and says, "Ha! I bought those groceries. There is no God." The lady looks at him and smiles and she shouts, "Praise the Lord. Not only did you provide groceries for me, Lord, you made Satan pay for them." So. You know, we continue this week with a second sermon in our series, The Facts of Life, a solid facts for a shifting world. Last week, we talked about the reality of the existence of truth, that without there being truth, that nothing else matters, and that Jesus is the root of all truth. And this week, we turn our focus to a question that many have struggled with throughout all time. And it's sometimes, it's the greatest struggles comes when things are the hardest, right? It's when we get there and we say, is there even a God? We've all probably walked those pathways. When things get really hard and things get really dark and we don't know what we're doing and we begin to cry out, why? Why me? If there really was a God, I wouldn't go through this. These moments of weakness where we come to regret. But for some, those moments become decisions with eternal consequences. The truth is, every society has wrestled with the idea of God. From the very beginning after the fall, we see as people begin to chase after things and ideas and idols to worship. And as the world has gotten smarter, the questions have become more intense. In fact, there is now a very militant type group of atheists out there that exists in our world. An atheist that included their own evangelists, you know, that go around talking of the good news of atheism, who look at society and history and shake their head at people who would believe in fairy tales such as God. Trying to convince someone of God's existence is very difficult because honestly, the Bible works from the assumption that God exists. I mean, the very first line is, "In the beginning, God." That's it. The Bible starts with this acknowledgement that there is a God. But it is the nature of man to search for God, especially when we try to explain things we can't explain. In fact, we see just such an instance over in Acts chapter 14. There we find Paul and Barnabas in Lystra. And there is a man who has been crippled from birth who is listening to their preaching. And Paul just kind of reaches out and heals him. The men there in Lystra, being that they were Greek, believed that Paul and Barnabas were gods. You know, they were Zeus and Hermes. And they began to prepare a sacrifice for them. And Paul and Barnabas are grieved over this. And then they say, "No, we're just men, but we serve a God that we want to tell you about and that who God is." And there in Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 16, we find the basis for our sermon today. And it says there, "In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." And even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now and we thank you and we praise you for your blessings. Father, we ask right now that you would take this time and use it for your glory. Father, use me as a vessel, may the words that I speak be yours and yours alone. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask all these things in the name of your son, Jesus, and for his sake. And all God's people said. Paul says, God used to leave men to themselves, but he did not leave himself without witness. And although the Bible assumes God's existence, Paul tells us that he is not without a witness in the world, that he is not without witnesses who speak on his behalf. And he goes on to give two pieces of witness. The first thing he says is, we can know there is a God by the witness of creation. By the witness of creation. Psalm 119:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The very fact that we exist proclaims there is a God. The earth is 93 million miles from the blistering surface of the sun. The size, position, and angle of the earth is a scientific phenomenon. It has to be orchestrated. A few degrees closer to the sun and we'd disintegrate. A few degrees further and we'd freeze. The axis of the earth is tilted at a perfect 23 degree angle, which allows equal global distribution to the rays of the sun, making it possible for the food chain to exist. The combination of nitrogen and oxygen in the atmosphere that we breathe every day is the exact mix that life needs to prosper. It doesn't happen on any other planet that way. All of these things, the moon controls the tides. It's not an accident. The tides drag impurities from the depths of the sea. It's nature's constant recycling chain. The stars will rotate with such exact precision that the atomic clock has an error factor of less than 3 seconds per millennium is set in the way that they move. The seasons, the crops, the animals, everything was designed with a designer. You ever heard of the bombardier beetle? The bombardier beetle is this crazy little insect that defends itself by shooting out an explosive mixture of chemicals from within its body that can literally propel it and can explode and hurt its predator. And these chemicals, when they mix together, go boom. But they create these chemicals within their body. And their body is created in such a way that they're only mixed as they come out. Because if they mixed before, well then, boom, the beetle doesn't exist. Every part of creation screams there is a God. Everything. If there is a design, there is a designer. Things don't happen by accident. Paul says the witness of creation cries out that there is a God. He didn't leave himself without a witness. But he also says we can know there is a God from the witness of our conscience. Here he says, satisfying your heart with food and gladness. Joy, happiness, contentment in life are all signs that there is a God. Romans 2, 14 through 16 says, for when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. There is within every human an innate sense of right and wrong. Animals don't have that. Fish don't have that. Birds don't have that. No matter what the cartoons tell us, they don't have these things. Even those who would say that there is no absolute truth, in the end, agree with certain things because of their conscience. Everyone across the board believes that murder is wrong. Atheists don't disagree with that point. Nobody in any other religion disagree that murder is wrong. Everyone believes that. Everyone believes that theft is wrong. Some who deny the existence of God would point to this as guilt that has been trained into us, but that does not explain the pre-existent knowledge of things like mine, yours, and ours. You ever thought about that? How does a two-year-old know mine? Two-year-old understands that there is belonging. Two-year-old understands that if you take something that is mine, it is wrong for you to take it. That happens without us telling them that. They just understand it. That's something that is built into us, something that we all understand. Our consciences, our minds, our experiences proclaim the existence of God. In fact, usually it seems when someone's arguing against the existence of God, it's because they want permission to go against the very conscience within them that's proclaiming that there is a God. There can't be a God. There is no God. And that person is usually wanting to do something that the Bible would call sin. They're wanting to do something that would let them walk away from the things that God has set. Our consciences scream within us that there is a holy God. We all have this conscience. The difference is that some listen to their conscience while others war against them. Some say, okay, I hear you, I'll stop. And some want to fight against it so they can do what they want to do. There is this selfish nature within man that causes us to war against the image of God within us. Because even the Bible tells us that men are created in the image of God. And that image of God within us screams when it comes up against the things this world wants to throw at us. It fights against it. It wars against it. And we have a choice. We can either submit and say, I need to give myself over to God, or I can war against it and say, there is no God. There is no God. I'm not going to do this, but our conscience tells us there is. There's one final witness to the existence of God that Paul doesn't talk about here. That witness is the witness of Jesus. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 2:9 and 10 says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Jesus is the picture of God, the culmination of the revelation of God. Jesus told his disciples that if they have seen him, they have seen the Father. Jesus fulfills over 300 prophecies and descriptions of Old Testament scripture. All of these from various sources. Various ideas, various points, and they all come together in this one person, Jesus. All of them. The very person of Jesus testifies to the existence of God. And here's the thing. Not even atheists disagree that Jesus existed. You can look in history and find that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was a historical person. This historical person fits over 300 prophecies. So the very atheist who wants to tell you that God does not exist does not deny the fact that Jesus existed, that Jesus walked this earth. They do not deny that man. The only thing we disagree on is whether or not he is God. But the fact that all these prophecies found their fulfillment in a person everybody agrees exists, proclaims the existence of God. I tried to look up and do the math, and I'm not as good at math as I want to be. I should have talked to my math teacher while I was at the game on. But the likelihood of any one person meeting just 8 of these prophecies was something like, and I don't even know that I'm saying it right. I'm trying to think of how many zeros that was. 1 in 17 zeros. So what is that? 1,000, a million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, like 1 quintillion, 1 in 1 quintillion of just meeting 8. He met 300. 300. And not even atheists would say he didn't exist because he was a man that can be proven to be here. So yes, the witness of Jesus proclaims there is a God. Yes, there is a God. I can lay out the case. You can study the scripture and the history and collect people's experiences. But the truth is, some will not believe. Some will harden their hearts and say, stuck in their belief because they're too prideful to change. They're too scared for life to be different. Maybe today you have wondered, is there really a God? Maybe you're like me. You're logical. You want things to make sense. I'm a very logical person. I like things to make sense, and I've always been jealous of the people who have what I call the gift of faith, who, like the lady in my story this morning, will give God the glory for everything right off the bat. I was always the guy who would go through every scientific explanation, and when I couldn't get to anything else, I would say, yes, God did it. The underlying current was that God does everything, and I knew that, but I always wanted some logic. Maybe you're like me and you want things to make sense. Let me assure you, the very scientific facts surrounding creation and its existence can only logically lead you to one place. There is a God. If there's a design, there's a designer, and that designer is God. Maybe science doesn't mean anything to you, but your experience does. Look into yourself and ask, where does this idea of right and wrong come from? Yes, my parents have taught me what things fall into those categories, but I have always known some things are right and some things are wrong, and everybody has that. It has to come from somewhere. It's not an accident. It's God. And maybe theories are great, but facts are better. And back to the prophecies again. Eight, just meeting eight is one in a quintillion. What about a factual man who meets over 300? That's not a theory. That's a fact. Whether you look at creation, whether you look at our conscience, whether you look at the man Jesus, everything around us is proclaiming there is a God. Any ever listened to Louis Giglio? He was popular on the youth circuit back when I was younger. And he has one speech. I've got the DVD back there, I think. When he talks about the design. And I wish I would have got a picture. You'll have to go look it up when you get home. We have what is called the cellular adhesion molecule. It's called laminin. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Laminin. The cell adhesion molecule. It is literally what holds us together. It's a protein the body creates. And now I'm kicking myself for not getting the picture. Suffice it to say, go home and look up laminin. Look at the image of laminin, the part of our body that we were designed that holds us together, and you will be amazed at what it looks like. Maybe this morning you've always known there is a God, and this has been one of those where you're going, yeah, I already know that. I hope you walk away with the tools you need when someone else asks you, why do you believe that there's a God? Because now you can say, look around, look at creation, look at how we are, look at what's going on here. We would not exist if there wasn't a God. Maybe this morning you have some other need. The altar's open. You need to pray, I'll pray with you. Maybe you'll serve in the missions or ministry. Maybe you want to join this church in membership. Maybe this morning you've never known Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never taken a step to say, I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. Let today be the day. But wherever you're at, wherever you need, give it to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now and we thank you and we praise you for your blessing.